Amazing how the Lord works things out. That's what I'm going to be preaching on this morning. Luke 24. Luke chapter 24. If you would turn there and start off here in Luke. It's a familiar passage. You've heard it before. I'm going to be moving around a good bit, and I asked you if you would stay with me. I'll give you time to turn there at different times, but anyway, keep your Bibles open this morning. Luke chapter 24. I'm going to let you remain seated. I'm going to read a few verses here. Turn there, verse number 13. Luke 24, 13. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all the things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? And hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said to them, what things? They said to him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people. Now the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. When they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said to them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded them in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they say one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour, returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with him, saying, the Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. My heart has been burdened for our church this week. The devil is fighting this church tooth and nail, seems like. He's doing all he can to discourage you and to kick you down. I'm burdened about it. I was up half the night Thursday praying about it and burdened for you, praying for you. Every household in here, either now or recently, has had some kind of trial they've been through. Every household in here. I can go down their list. I'm not going to. I wish I had all the answers, but I don't. I've been wondering, I've been praying and trying to find answers, but trying to wonder why things are happening. As a pastor, I want to have all the answers for you, and sometimes I just don't know. I don't know what all God's plan is any more than you do. But again, to pray and just ask God to help me and to help me help you today, and that's what I'm going to try to do. That's my heart this morning, and try to just encourage you a little while. Our nation, our world today is not looking good, and that's not very encouraging. We're getting to that part. That same, the North Valley Baptist Church we prayed about last week in California. This week, they found out that if they open their college and a Christian school, they'll be fined $5,000 plus every day they're open. With being fined twice on Sundays, for sure that's $40,000 a week is going to cost them in fines just to open the house of God and their Christian school and Christian college. Church can't keep that up. That's discouraging. Talk about discouraging. The state doing that to a church, that's discouraging. Unconstitutional. That's not just California. That's just the one in public eye at the moment. It's everywhere. It's discouraging. That's what's been happening on the news. But as I mentioned before, we've all been through something. That's far away. We've been through a lot more personal things than that. If you have any human instinct inside of you whatsoever, you're probably looking around thinking, where's God at? What is he doing? Why is our nation going through what we're going? When is this thing going to stop? Where is the line going to be drawn? Where is it going to stop? When is it going to get us out of here? How bad is it going to get before we're taken out of here? With that thought in mind, we can relate somewhat to these two disciples here on the road to Emmaus, I believe. They had just watched Jesus bleed and die on a cross. They've buried him. They have gone to put spice on the body. 3 days later, they come and they find the stone rolled away and the tomb was empty. Now, looking back, we say, well, come on now. He told you that was going to happen. Why are you so discouraged for? But like us, in the middle of a trial, we get our tunnel vision. We only see the bad things that are happening. We don't see what God's doing. So they don't see the prophecy. They just see Jesus is gone. The angels appeared to the ladies there at the tomb. They remember what Jesus had promised. They went and told the apostles. The rest of them didn't believe. The ladies, two of them take off down the road to Emmaus. We know that one is named Cleopas from later on. The other, we don't know the name. It really doesn't matter. Two of them take off down the road, discouraged. Because in verse 14, they talked together of all the things which had happened. Is that not what we've been doing here lately? We get together and we talk about all the bad things going on. That's what we've been doing, myself included on that. When we talk about the bad politics and the bad enforcement, this virus stuff, and we talk about all those things, and look how bad it, look what this happened to me this week, and talking about myself this morning. They walked and they talked together of all that had happened with Jesus being crucified, now his body being gone. Imagine they probably thought something like, well, where's Jesus when you need him? Where's God at? Our nation today, I feel like there are probably a lot of Christians with that same thought and same attitude. Where's God at? We may not say that, we may not say it out loud, but there's trouble around us. Where's he at? Church Christians, has that crossed your mind? Maybe you not said those exact words, but I'm sure you've thought it. Just being honest this morning, I've thought it myself. Lord, where is it going to stop? The story goes on here in Luke. Jesus shows up. He walks with them. They're blinded to the fact that it was Jesus. They're walking with him, walking with Jesus, telling Jesus how sad they are because Jesus is no longer with them. Did you get all that? So they're going on, and Jesus, the teacher, the preacher of preachers he is, begins to expound on the scriptures through all the prophets, says, and begins to go through all the scriptures and show them in the Bible Jesus. Can you imagine being there for listening to the author of the scriptures, listening to Jesus teach you about himself in the Old Testament? Can you imagine? So they continue on. They constrain him to stay. I wouldn't want him to leave either. He stays. They break bread with him, and then their eyes are open, and Jesus is gone, disappears. The Bible continues on. He appears later in the chapter. You can read that later on. I want to try to follow some of the same steps today that he did. He expounded them in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. The scripture at the time they had was the Old Testament. He expounded in all the Old Testament, the things concerning Jesus. I don't have the time or the ability to expound all the scriptures. Or I don't have the ability. I'm not that smart. But I do want to hit a few highlights here and preach on just a few minutes on that verse, Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus preached on Jesus in the Old Testament to these disciples. I wonder what he preached on. Is Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever? If that's the case, and that means that the same Christ that was there in the Old Testament is the same Christ that we serve today. The same Christ that there were for Moses and the prophets, the same Christ that died on the cross for me and rose again for me. I don't have all the answers for all of life's problems. I wish I did. I don't know all the right things to say to help you. I don't, but I do know Jesus. And you ought to know Jesus as well, and he is capable of handling whatever problem you may have. He's able, and he's well able to handle it. For whatever problem you may have, the answer is always going to be Jesus. I'm going to look through this few short points here and try to just show you Jesus in the scriptures. Number one, we see him in creation. God created in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Before there was anything, there was God. You say, well, that's good, preacher. That's not. It doesn't mention Jesus. Yes, we know that they are three in one, triune God, and we understand that. The Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, three in one, three different gods, three separate beings, they're all the same one. You say, explain that. I can't, I'm not that smart. That's what the Bible says. We know that. But it also says in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, the same was in the beginning with God. Who is this Word? Yes, that would be Jesus. Jesus was in the beginning with God. As long as there's been a God, there's been a Jesus. Where's Jesus? He's been there the whole entire time. Same yesterday, today, and forever. The same God is there at creation. Is the same God here in Luke 24 walking with these disciples. That means that Jesus was there. He was present for creation. He was there all 6 days of creation. The seventh day of rest, Genesis 1:16. It says, and God made two great lights, the greater to rule the day and the lesser to rule the night. He made the stars also. He made the stars also. We skip over that right at the end of the verse. All those great the stars, each larger than our sun, yet so far away from us, they look minuscule, tiny. All of our galaxy and beyond our galaxy, it was just made also. Instead of a great big God, Jesus was there as well. He's part of that creation. Jesus, our Savior, he was with there through it all. Job had something to say about the same thing. Job 26:7. He stretches out over the north. He stretches the north over the empty place and hangeth the earth upon nothing. You get that? He stretched out the north over the empty place. He hung the earth on nothing. He just said, and put that right there on nothing. Jesus took the earth, formed it. God took the earth and formed it, then just made it hang there. He made it turn at the right speed, not to sling us off, but also to have night and day at the same time. He formed it all. He hung us out on nothing and made everything. What a God we serve. Can I remind you the same Jesus is our intercessor today, the same Jesus that died for me and you is the same one that was in the beginning with God. If Jesus can be there and hang the earth on nothing, surely he can handle our little problems. You see, there are big problems, not as big as hanging the world on nothing. Jesus there on the road to Emmaus, it says he expounded all the scripture to them. I believe that means what it says. He probably told them all about the beginning and how it happened and Jesus, how what Jesus' role was there in the creation, expounding the scriptures. He talked about himself the same yesterday, today, and forever. We see God in creation. We see the God who cares, even the Old Testament. John 8:54. Go ahead and turn there, John 8:54. Just one book over. John 8:54 says, Jesus answered, "If I honor myself, and my honor is nothing, it is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you, but I know him and keep his sayings." He said, if I said I didn't know him, I'd be a liar like you are. "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and thou hast thou seen Abraham? He said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. What does that I am mean? That's present tense. Abraham is past tense. She didn't say, I was. Nope, because he's the same yesterday and today and forever. He was there. I was there with Abraham. I'm still here today. I am. Jesus says, the I am. Exodus 3:14. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shall I say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. Over in John, Jesus said, he says, I am the I am. Who sent Moses? I am has sent Moses unto you. I believe Jesus was there in that burning bush. I'm not trying to get on Brother Russell's lesson there. You believe Jesus was there in the burning bush, as well as holy ground, angel of the Lord. You say, what does that mean? Why is that important? Because the same Jesus who we pray to now, our intercessor, the same Jesus that died on the cross for me and you, he's there to tell Moses how to deliver the children of Israel. If Jesus can do all that, surely he can help our problems today. Jesus was there to call Moses. Do you know that Moses knew about Jesus and that the Savior of the Lord? Did you realize he knew about all that back there in Egypt? Hebrews 11:24, it says, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to call the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Moses, by faith, believed that keeping God's people separate from the Egyptians, allowing them to continue on as true Hebrews, to eventually have a Savior born unto them, was more important than the riches in Egypt. Amen. Moses was looking forward to Jesus. Had respect to the recompense of the reward. The recompense of the reward, that means the payment for suffering. In other words, Moses was willing to sacrifice and willing to go and willing to bring those people out of Egypt, willing to be an outcast. He had every right to live in the palace. He was raised by Pharaoh's daughter. He gave it all up because he knew Jesus was coming, and Jesus down on the cross was recompense of the reward. Jesus was worthy of Moses' sacrifice, and he agreed to that. All the way back in Exodus, Moses was looking forward to Jesus. Later on, we know that the Lord did bring his people out of Egypt. They were following Moses through the wilderness. I don't know what we'll get into far in your lesson again, but they would eventually get thirsty. They got water a couple different times. But one time, God instructed Moses to strike the rock, and the water came out. You may know where I'm going. They drank from a rock. It's a miracle. This is in 1 Corinthians 10:1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant, and that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. The rock was Christ. You know that Christ is, don't you? That's Jesus. Well, what makes it a spiritual rock and a spiritual drink? It's a miracle, Jesus. I don't believe it's a metaphorical rock or a metaphorical water. In metaphorical meat, I believe they were actually thirsty, and they actually got water. They're actually hungry, they actually got meat, they actually got manna. I believe we know that Jesus, he provided the manna, and he is the rock, and he gave water for his people. I believe Jesus provided the water. It says in 1 Corinthians 10, he did. Jesus was the rock in the sand that gave water to Israel. You say, preacher, that's crazy. Your Bible says the same thing, doesn't it? 1 Corinthians 10. I'm not trying to make anything up here. I'm just trying to tell you what the Bible says. Take it face value. If Jesus can be a rock and let water flow out to give Israel the water they need, don't you think he can be what we need him to be today? Amen. He's everything I ever need and everything I ever will need. He is Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. Church, I may not have all the answers for what ails you. I may not have all the right words of wisdom to pass along to you. But if I can do anything today, my goal is to point you to him. Amen. He's able to do abundantly above all that we ask or think. He cares enough to send Moses. He cares enough to appear to Moses in a bush. He cares enough to apparently show Moses at some point his plan for his people to send a Savior. He cares enough to provide water in the wilderness for his people and meat in the wilderness. Look at one more example here. Daniel chapter 3. Go ahead and turn there. Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3, verse number 6. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Verse number 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered said unto the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. And if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Verse 21. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hose, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Verse 23, and these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and he rose up in haste and spake and said to the counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered unto the king, true, O king. He answered, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Nebuchadnezzar says, hey, that fourth man looks like the Son of God. In the midst of these three Hebrew boys stands, Jesus was there. In the midst of their fire, Jesus was there. Jesus stepped down to keep them safe. If Jesus can do that for them, what makes you think he won't care for me and you in our trial, in our fire? After all, he's the same yesterday and today and forever, is he not? One more thing, I think I've mentioned this here before. It's not a trick question, but who noticed Jesus in the fiery furnace? Nebuchadnezzar noticed Jesus in the fiery furnace. The other men that are with him didn't see him. It doesn't say they saw him. It doesn't say anything about the three boys seeing Jesus. It was Nebuchadnezzar, just something to ponder on. It never says anything about the three boys in the fire knowing that Jesus was there. Nebuchadnezzar saw him, God allowed that to happen, and saw from his heart. But it never says that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego saw Jesus in the fire. How many of our trials do we go through, and we may not see Jesus anywhere? We may be in the fire, have no idea that he's there right beside us the whole time. But meanwhile, there's somebody on the outside looking in that sees him there, plain as day. You say, what do you mean by that? Others may look in and see the peace you have in the trial, the calmness in our fire. They may see us come through unburnt, and they may see Jesus, yet always see what's the fire in the fire. Just something to think about. I wonder how many of our trials we go through, and we're scared, and we're worried, and we can't find Jesus anywhere. Just like the two on the road to Emmaus, worried and talking about what has happened, begin to talk with Jesus and not even know it. How often is he right there with us, and we don't even know it? Church, I don't know what all you're going through. I know you've had a rough couple weeks. It doesn't mean that Jesus is nowhere to be found. I believe he's right here with us. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. There's one more appearance of Jesus I want to show you. It's in the New Testament, and you know it pretty well. Luke chapter 2. Took back to the New Testament, Luke chapter 2. And it came to pass in those days that went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. This taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with the marriage of spouse's wife, being great with child. And so it was, while they were there, the days were accomplished, she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there's no room for them in the inn. You say, what's the point? We know about Jesus, we know the Christmas story, we know all that. The entire Old Testament, all we read about, all these theophanies I mentioned this morning, appearance of Jesus in the Old Testament, and the ones I didn't mention, there's a lot more there I didn't mention. All those times that Jesus appeared and saved his people, what was the reason for all of that? All those times Jesus saved his people, when he went to Moses, when he supplied the manna, when he supplied the water, when he gave Israel the land back in Canaan again, all the things he did, he promised them to Abraham. What was the purpose of all that? To ensure that one day out of the house of David, Jesus would be born a Hebrew. All that we read about and talked about a few minutes ago, it's also Luke chapter 2 could take place. You say, why is that so important? Because it says in Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Jesus' entire reason for coming was to come to seek and save that which is lost, says in John 3:16. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has been here from the beginning. He is God. He's part of the triune God. He appeared over and over again in the Old Testament to point towards his coming in the New Testament. And all in his coming in the New Testament was so 33 and a half years later, he could die on a cross and suffer and bleed and die and rise again on the third day for me and you. He would then ascend to heaven and apply his blood to the mercy seat to be our final atonement for sin. Why did we go through all this in the New Testament? Why did Jesus keep appearing and saving his people and calling Moses to bring his people out of Egypt and supplying their need and taking care of them? Why did he do all that? So the Jews would still be around so he could appear in Luke chapter 2 and be born and die and rise again for me and you. Every appearance of Jesus just points towards his crucifixion and his rising again. His entire purpose was so me and you could believe in him and have everlasting life. Romans 5:8, but God committed his love toward us, and while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for you. He shed his blood for you. Is there any reason today that if there's anybody here today that's never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, you better get that settled. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Doesn't matter who you are, what sin you have committed, what Jesus can save you today. Will you believe him? Will you call on him and ask him to save you today? I don't care if you're 8 years old or 80 years old. There's no age limit on salvation. Jesus' entire purpose, the same yesterday and today and forever, his entire purpose was so we could be saved. The entire purpose for coming was so we can be saved. If you're lost today, you need to be saved today. Don't let your pride stop you. Humble yourself and get it settled today. Jesus did all of that for you. Every head bowed, every eye closed, if you would. If you're here today, they say, preacher, the Lord's dealing with my heart today. I feel like you're talking at me today. Can I tell you it's not me? I'm not aiming this at anybody in particular. I'm just preaching the Lord gave me. If the Lord's working on your heart, that's the Holy Spirit calling you. Why don't you answer the call? If you were to walk these back doors this morning, you were to take your last breath on this earth, where would you go? You say, well, preacher, I don't know. I'd hope I go to heaven. Hope isn't good enough. Well, I've been a pretty good person. Being a good person isn't good enough. Well, I've been baptized. Being baptized isn't good enough. Must be a time in your life when you humble yourself before God and repent. You ask him to forgive your sins and to trust him to save you. If you have not done that, according to the word of God, you are not saved this morning. What are you trusting in? Jesus went through all of that to save you. What are you trusting in this morning? Trusting yourself? Trusting in your parents? You're trusting in something that's happened in your past? If you're trusting in anything besides him, you're not saved this morning. Is there anybody here like that this morning? So just slip your hand up. I'm not here to embarrass you or call your name. I just want to pray for you. See, am I going through a trial this morning? You say, preacher, I don't understand why God's letting this go on. I don't see him anywhere. According to my eyes, he's nowhere to be found. Can I encourage you this morning? He said, he'll never leave you nor forsake you if you're saved. He said, he'll watch over you and take care of you. There may be trials, there may be fires. He's faithful to be there. There's an altar down here this morning. You're welcome to come and pray. More than happy, if you're not saved this morning, be more than happy to show you from the scriptures how to be saved, show you what I'm talking about. Would you come? If you're lost this morning, don't leave this house of God lost, please. Here's your opportunity. Would you come?